For details of this story, I'm going to share with you. I'm sure you can find it in Wikipedia. Elizabeth Blackwell was born on February 10, 1821 in Bristol, England. As a girl, she moved with her family to the United States, where she first worked as a teacher. Elizabeth became a doctor in the 1840s. At the time, medical schools were only for men. Elizabeth Blackwell had to fight just to get in. Finally, at one school, Geneva College of Medicine in New York, the students voted to let her in as a joke. When she got there, the students made fun of her. They refused to share their notes with her. And some professors tried to keep her out of their classes. She refused to give up. In 1849, she graduated at the head of her class. When no hospital would allow her to practice, she opened her own hospital. Then she opened a medical school to train women. Elizabeth Blackwell courageously got out of the boat and walked on the roaring waters of opposition and gender discrimination in the medical profession. Stepping out of the boat and walking on the water is the theme for, or the theme of our readings today. Around 860 BC, in the northern kingdom of Israel, the kingdom is ruled by Ahab, and Ahab is ruled by his queen, Jezebel. Under her influence, Ahab permitted Baal worship, foreign religion, and it flourished in Israel. He built temples and opened his palaces to hundreds of false prophets and cronies of Jezebel. All the prophets of Yahweh are silenced. Out of persecution and for fear of their lives, some recanted and will no longer speak for Yahweh. The only lone voice is that of Elijah. Elijah is a Tishbite from the city or from the land of Gilead. He is the only one, and his mission now is to confront the infidelity of the monarchy. Feeling called to do a seemingly impossible task, to step out of the boat and walk on water, he responds without fear. Elijah challenges the Baal prophets to a public contest on the top of Mount Carmel while Jezebel is away. The king and the assembly of people watch the trial of the strength between Elijah and all the queen's men. The prayers of the false prophets are unheeded. But when Elijah prayed, fire appeared from heaven and burned his offering. The crowd shouted, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Elijah now exploits his win and has all the false prophets beheaded. But Jezebel returns with vengeance at the news that his prophets have all been wiped out and is seeking the life of Elijah. Hence, he takes to his heels. He flees to the mountain. It is only at the mountain, in the silence of the breeze of that little wind, that Elijah encounters the Lord Yahweh. He strengthens him, and he continues on his mission. After a 40-day trek across the desert, he comes to Mount Sinai. He is desperate. He is depressed completely. He wants to die. But he knows that he is there at God's bidding. God never abandons those he has called. And so the Lord answers in the silence of the wind, a tiny voice. He helps him to overcome his adversity. And so the lesson for us here is that our faith doesn't shield us from the trials of life. Our faith will not shield us from the storms of life. Our faith can really strengthen us to overcome those trials. God did not prevent or shield Jesus Christ from the agony on the cross, but he strengthened him, walked with him, and gave him victory through the cross. And so in the gospel of today, Christ asked Peter to do something manifestly impossible, humanly speaking. He is asked, as we all heard, to walk on the water. And Peter obeyed Christ and set out to walk on the water. But his faith lets him down. He is frightened when he is faced with the wind, the storm, and he begins to sink. So that Jesus had to react to save him by stretching out a hand in response to Peter's call, "Lord, save me." This incident, taken literally, will have little value to us. But symbolically, and as a story of faith, it is tremendously relevant. At some point, you and I and all of us in our Christian life will be called just like Peter to do something which apparently or seemingly would be impossible and aided by our human nature. We will be called to walk upon the water. Imagine a young girl, she's probably in high school, she's impregnated by her colleague boy, and now she's faced with a storm of her life. Her inability to continue with her education because of the pregnancy, she's faced with rejection from her parents, finger-pointing neighbors as soon as the news breaks. But there is a way out for her, a quiet abortion before the storms break out. No one will ever know. But then she hears the voice, the gentle voice of Christ calling her and saying that abortion is wrong. Will she have the courage to listen to Christ? Imagine a businessman who is away from home on a business trip. And one night he meets a very attractive woman. His relationship with his wife at home is nothing to write about. It's severely under strain. And he feels she is being unreasonably difficult to live with. No one will ever know if for just once he is unfaithful to her. Will he have the courage to walk across the waters of infidelity at the call of Christ, who tells him that adultery is wrong? Again, consider a young mother with two children whose husband suddenly leaves her for another woman. She is faced with a storm of hurt, anger, betrayal, being used and abandoned, loneliness. Amidst this storm, she hears the voice of Christ inviting her to trust and not to seek any form of revenge or compensation. Will she have the courage to walk on those troubled waters, relying only on the word of Christ? Assuming a young man has an opportunity to rise rapidly to the top of his company and make a lot of money, and so put poverty behind him. But the path to the top means to take a dubious approach. Will he be able to walk across the troubled or the foul waters and not participate in injustice? Well, every one of us will at one time or the other be faced with very trying circumstances, very difficult decisions, very great sorrows, very hard temptations. From a human point of view, to do what is right is to do the Christian thing. It may seem like it will make no sense and will appear to be totally impossible to our human nature. But precisely in those moments, just like Peter, we are called to walk on that water, and it requires walking in faith. To some extent, the whole Christian life is walking in faith, and that is relying only on the word of Christ at all times and in all circumstances. In the difficult moments, we have to listen to the voice of Christ as he tells us, leave the boat and start walking towards him. It's only when we take our eyes off him that we will sink or begin to sink like Peter did. But then it is when we cry out, just like Peter did, Lord, save me, we will find him with an outstretched hand to rescue us.